Hello, I'm Justin Oldham, and for the next 10 minutes, you'll be listening to an ATS member podcast. For the benefit of those fun-loving computers over at the Department of Homeland Security, which may be scanning this file, I'd like to say that this digital recording was made on Friday, January 25th of 2008. Like many of you in the United States and around the world, I've been following the U.S. presidential races with quite a bit of interest. Once upon a time, before the New Hampshire primary, back on January 3rd, there was some speculation that Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama might have worked out some kind of secret deal wherein she would be the president and he would be the vice president. If there ever was such a deal, it now looks like it's dead and gone because, holy cow, man, they're going after each other like cats and dogs. Now, it is fair to say, from a politically tactical standpoint, that they are pulling their punches. Senator Obama hasn't resorted to gender stereotypes, and for her part, Senator Clinton has not resorted to racial stereotypes. The simple truth of the matter is that both of these two candidates have got to be very careful about how they zap each other. As far as we've come since the abolition of slavery, as much as we've done to advance the cause of human rights inside our own borders over the last 100 years, we still have a long way to go, and it wouldn't be that hard to set off some real nastiness. Some of you may recall, back in the early 90s, the beating of Rodney King that got caught on VHS, and some of you may remember the riots that triggered. Inasmuch as we hope that race no longer matters, the simple fact is that the specter of racism is still there. It lives in the corners of our country where the light of reason doesn't always reach. Now, for those of you who just gotta have some kind of conspiracy in the Democratic camp, I call your attention to John Edwards. This is a guy who has no chance in hell of winning his party's nomination, but he's tagging along, picking up a few delegates here and there, knowing that if this race stays tight enough, that eventually somebody's gonna have to talk to him. Going to be that godfather thing.
So, tell me, Mr. Edwards, what would it take for you to part with your delegates?
At this point, Hillary Clinton is in a better position to offer a higher price than Barack Obama is. Barack has a lot of money. The media still likes him, although we're starting to see a few cracks in that relationship. But the fact of the matter is that he does not have the organization that she does. Please remember that Hillary started building her state-level grassroots organization 4 years ago. Barack has only been seriously doing this presidential thing since February, March of 2007. Now, I know what some of you are thinking, but the Republicans themselves are not without their conspiracy options. Anybody who watched the January 24th debate that was held in Florida will know that these guys finally get it. They finally understand just how much trouble they are really in. Now, those who are serious about jumping for the brass ring, those who want the presidency the most, have distanced themselves as far from Bush's policies as they can, but if you listened to what they said closely, you'll notice that nobody's willing to say that we're heading into a down economy, although they do recognize the need for a stimulus to head off the possibility of a recession. The fact of the matter is that all GOP candidates, whether they want it or not, they are permanently chained to the economic downturn, and they're permanently chained to the Iraq War. Now, if you just got to put on your tinfoil hat and figure a covert means for the Republicans to get ahead, then try considering these three options. First and foremost, whoever survives an attempt on their life is going to get a huge boost in the polls from sympathy. Secondly, party-wide, if it turns out that there is some new terrorist attack on American soil before we go to the polls in November, that's going to scare the hell out of a lot of people, and it will probably translate into a 20-point turnaround in the polls for the Republicans. Does that actually mean that the Bush administration is somehow going to get slack so that something does happen? I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine. The third conspiratorial possibility that you might want to consider goes a little something like this. Republicans have a long-standing tradition of not throwing mud at each other. Ronald Reagan used to say that the 11th commandment is, "Thou shalt not speak ill of your fellow Republicans." If any of the candidates had some really juicy blackmail on their opposition, and if they were willing to step forward and endure the slings and arrows of their party members, they might go to the media, they might tell what they know, they might show what they know, and the resulting controversy could, I say could, catapult them into the lead just by attrition. If you, for example, if you were to show proof that any of the front runners were doing stuff that was, you know, really just kinky and weird, it might be enough to shame them into dropping out of the race. Now, me personally, I happen to think that the party is divided into as many as four major segments. The simple fact of the matter is that all of these candidates, as I've said before, in the past, they have been moderates, but now, in order to win the endorsement of the party elders, they have to dress and talk like ultra-hardcore conservatives. When you hear people like Hannity and Rush talk about moderates, they have nothing good to say about them. As an analyzer of politics, I'd like to point one thing out to you. The simple fact that these talking heads are saying one thing, but the country is voting in a totally different direction, that tells you how disconnected and off-message these guys really are. In the world of politics, when they say that somebody is on message, what they're actually saying is that that person has really understood what the American people are after, and he's headed in the right direction to get it. At this point in the game, I think that the Republican candidates individually get it. They understand what the majority wants, but they're handcuffed because the party leadership wants them, insists that they go in a different direction. Now, just in case you're noticing a remarkable difference in the quality of this podcast, I'd like to tell you that I'm finally on broadband, and I've now learned to appreciate the fact that different microphones do different things. This is actually something I can appreciate. As a legally blind person, I have exceptionally good hearing. So when I listen to the stuff that's recorded with a super high-quality mic, I can tell the difference. As we enter the last 60 seconds of this podcast, I can tell you that now, instead of using a wide-area mic, I'm actually using a headset with a microphone boom. And thanks to advice from people that I respect, I have on order a super cardioid dynamic microphone, which will make me sound even better. If I can do this, you can too. It may not be any fun to read the instruction manual, but in the end, it's well worth doing. If you're afraid of the investment of time and money, please just remember one thing. Podcasts like the one you're listening to now have the potential to reach millions. All I ask is that you think before you speak and keep your finger on that pause button. This has been Justin Oldham, and you've been listening to an ATS member podcast.